this morning. Whether this is your first time with us or you have been here your whole life, we are so glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you have any questions this morning about the worship or all of the great announcements and things that are going on throughout your bulletin, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to answer any further questions that you might have. This morning is the last Sunday of the month, which we here at GPC have traditionally celebrated as Fusion or Family Sunday, but we have a very unique opportunity to serve and help the greater church, to help a local congregation in their search for a new pastor. So we do welcome Pat Youngdahl this morning, who will be preaching, and a few guests among us. Please greet them, as I know that GPC Hospitality does such a great job doing. We're glad that you all are here. A few announcements that I have this morning. Confirmants, I know you're out there. And it's my favorite class, Presbyterian Polity 101. Yes! After worship, room 2, I've got books of order for you. It'll be fun, I promise. And see, as the elders know, I get very excited about our book of order. And announcement regarding Carol Ann Strawbridge's retirement. Save the date, end of June, June 29th. You will be receiving a letter this week about all the ways that you can help. But we do ask that you make sure that Carol Ann doesn't see that letter and you don't ask her about the things on it. Some of those things are a surprise. So if you have questions, I am happy to answer them. And we've got a few folks who are serving on the committee whose names you'll see in that letter. Nancy Hasselop did ask that I make an announcement that if you have scrapbooking supplies, she's got a box in the hallway. It's marked Nancy. Put them in there. They'd love to see you on March 28th for a scrapbooking bonanza of kinds. I'm not sure what that means. It should be good, though. A few other announcements this morning. Todd.
Morning, everybody. Just a reminder, 2 more weeks. You have to purchase tickets for the Amherst, GPC night with the Amherst. The game is March 9th at 5 o'clock against Oklahoma City Barons, and the cost is $14 a ticket. Gary Dykes and I will be down in the Fellowship Hall this week and next week to hand out tickets on the 9th, but the purchase tickets will be there for the next 2 weeks down there. So hope to see everybody there. Thank you.
Great. Jan.
Good morning. Just a reminder for new information for those of you who weren't here last week. On March 29th, GPC is honored to host the Presbytery meeting here. There's an announcement on the back of the bulletin, so please read that. We have 2 very distinguished speakers who are going to be here from PCUSA. So even come to help for the day if you can, even if you're not an official elder from session attending that meeting, please come as part of the congregation near these speakers. We are going to need help for setup on Friday afternoon, for teardown Saturday afternoon. We need some parking attendants, some kitchen help early in the morning, some kitchen help at lunchtime. There's a sign-up sheet on the kiosk, so please fill in where you can. We're going to need some refreshments. That's on there. And I have to go to Florida this week for 2 weeks. I won't be here for 2 weeks to bug you about this. So I expect to see that filled up when I come back. Thanks a lot.
Or she may come after you. So I would get out to that sign-up sheet. Thank you, Jan. And as we prepare our hearts for worship, also a reminder that our youngest disciples will be worshiping with us this morning throughout the entire service. So be mindful that wiggles and giggles are all part of the ways in which we praise God. Make sure you hold a hymnal at the level a child can read. And if folks need to get up and move around, no matter how young or whatever the opposite of that may be, you're welcome to get up and wiggle and giggle as well. So let us praise God together.
Please stand, if you're able, and join me for the call to worship. Jesus says the kingdom of God has come near. He asks us to follow him. We hear God's call through our lives and respond in worship and praise.
Gather for worship and sing God's praises, we also recognize that we bring our whole selves to this time of worship, all that we are and all that we are created to be, and also our brokenness. Let us share our brokenness by saying the words of the prayer of confession that is printed in your bulletin. God, when we hear you calling us onward, sometimes it can be challenging to leave things behind. Things like hurt, grief, disappointments or success, material possessions and relationships. We dig in our heels with excuses about not having enough time or energy. Forgive us for our navel-gazing and failing to recognize your invitation to see the kingdom around us. And we offer our silent prayers to God. And the one who calls us to this place calls us to reconciliation through grace. God doesn't turn away from us, but keeps coming closer. Know that we are forgiven and transformed in a new way that is made known to us in God's love. Thanks be to God. Thanks for filling in this morning. Thank you. The children at this time are welcome to come forward, and anyone else who just feels like they'd like to come forward are welcome to. Are there any hiding out? Are you guys hiding? Are you hiding in the pews this morning? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Oh my goodness, good morning. I'm so glad you guys are here this morning. Are you ready to go back to school?
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. Good answer. Good morning. So, there's something I've been thinking about this week. Hi, friends, something I've been thinking about. I like you guys to sit. Can you sit a little closer so I can see you? There we go. Thanks. Sometimes it gets kind of far away back there. So something I've been thinking about this week is, you know, we hear an awful lot about what we are supposed to be. Do you ever hear those kind of things? Yes, I'm seeing head nods. Have you ever heard that you're supposed to be good? Oh, yeah. Do you hear that maybe more than once a day? Yeah. How you're supposed to be happy. How you're supposed to be smart. How you're supposed to be cool. Yeah, sometimes. How you're supposed to be nice. Respectful. Those are all really great things to be. But did you know that the Bible also teaches us that we are supposed to be holy? I'm not talking about the kind of donuts or what might be on your socks. No. To be holy means to be special. It also means to be set apart for something really, really awesome. I know that we are all, sometimes we feel like we're pretty ordinary people, just like everybody else. But did you also know that when you were baptized, that God set you and you and you and you and you and me set us apart for something really special? We are set apart to be God's people. and serve God in all that we do. Do you guys do that? Do you serve God in all that you do? By being kind and loving? Yes. And being holy, knowing that that's God's special task for you each and every day. So as you go back to school this week, keep that in mind. You're not only supposed to be smart, but you're supposed to be holy too. Set apart to love God and love others. Would you guys pray with me, please? Yes? Dear God, we all know we aren't perfect, but we are very holy. Help us to be good, smart, and happy too. Amen. So you guys are invited to go back and sit with your parents or grandparents or whoever you want to sit next to. Sound good? All right.
Today, the first reading of the word is from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, and you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of the laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling brick before the blind. You shall not fear the God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice, you shall judge your neighbor, and you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you shall incur guilt yourself." Thus ends the reading of the word.
Reverend Melissa told me just how to do all this, and I'm thankful. Good morning. As we continue our worship this day, I would like to thank your pastor, Reverend Melissa DeRosa, for her kind invitation to preach today. And thanks also to everyone here for your warmth and hospitality. And thank you to the musicians for all this exquisite music that we're blessed with today. It is just a gift to be in your midst. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Holy Spirit, thank you for meeting us where we are this morning, loving us in the midst of all the struggles and the joys that we bring into the sanctuary, into this circle of sisters and brothers today. Fall fresh upon us, we pray, as we listen and reflect, that we may be strengthened in our inner being and awakened to your love moving among us. We pray in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading today is from the opening chapter of Mark, the earliest gospel written. And today, a little bit unlike what the bulletin says, I'm going to start back in verse 9 of chapter 1, because that's where God's love starts to come into the story. And as I thought about it, how can we make any sense of life or of what happens in this passage or in the gospel without God's love? At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. In you my heart delights." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and trust the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, Jesus called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Thanks be to God for this word of life. Just like that, James and John got up and stepped out of the boat. Who knows if they hugged their father, or looked him in the eye, or apologized, or even said goodbye before they felt the sand give beneath their feet as they walked along with Jesus and Simon and Andrew beside the Sea of Galilee without knowing the future. A few moments ago, Jesus had been alone, walking by himself beside the sea into the world, alone with his dreams and with the Holy Spirit moving in his heart. But now there were five walking along together, the beginnings of a new community of love and trust that now, centuries later, includes us also. Just like that, Jesus was alone, and then not. Just like that, people heard his call and just went. What we are doing now here today started there and then that day with those five walking along together beside the sea. How does this happen? How could they just get up and go like that? I ask myself sometimes, would I be able to do that? And I wonder if I would. And then sometimes I think that maybe I might be able to, or that maybe I already am, from time to time, stepping out to follow Jesus. What does it take? What makes it possible? Mark doesn't give much detail of what happens right then, but looking closely at the story, we can see that it twice mentions letting go. If we translated from the root of the Greek word aphentes, we would say, Simon and Andrew let go of their nets. They released the source of their livelihood, and along with that, they let go of how they saw themselves, how they'd been picturing their future, and how their lives made sense to them at that time. In the same way, translating again from the root of aphentes, we read that James and John let go of their father. Wow. Whoa. They let go of their father, of their current relationship, of all that they had expected that that relationship would look like through the years so that they could be as free as they needed to be to go with Jesus on this adventure of living into the fullness of God. Not that they would never see Zebedee again, but if they went on this adventure with Jesus, everything would change and be different and new, and they would be able to imagine from here what that would be like. Just like that, the beginnings of a new community of trust and love comes into being. Just like Simon and Andrew and James and John, we are invited to rise and go with Jesus before we know where the journey will take us. Jesus is asking us to step out with radical trust in the good news that God's time has arrived. It is here. It is now. Jesus is saying that the kingdom is not far away, but so close we can touch it. Just like that, it's time to decide, because Jesus is asking us now if we want to live in this newly emerging community of God's love for all. He's asking us now. The other night, I gathered for a meeting with some friends in Christ. It was just before nightfall, and the room looked south, so we pulled the curtains to the side so that we could look out to the horizon and see the Bristol Hills in the evening light. We sat down and prayed for God to help us listen. Then we launched into conversation about how we were catching on to the Spirit working in our midst. What did people think was happening? What feelings were being stirred? What ways did we have so far of understanding our journey? And all of us were searching for words because we were not in familiar terrain. One person would trust enough to take a risk and ask a question or tell an experience or bring forth an insight and let the others hear it. One person would spark the next and then the next as in faith, together, with fears melting and the love of God calling us forth, with voices sounding and gestures evoking, silences broke open, and each voice rose up to be heard as we pieced together where we found ourselves and what we heard the Spirit saying. There is nothing like one person going free and then the next, before our eyes and ears, helping us trust more and more in the love of God, which is what Jesus dreams for us to do. Jesus is asking us to let go of what we used to assume, to think, to count on, to be comfortable with, so that we can more deeply and expansively and joyously love. I think of that Leviticus passage where the farmers were asked not to glean to the edge of the field. Think about the people who are just beyond our borders. And that Leviticus passage is a list of challenges, and it ends with something very ancient that Jesus picked up and lived into. Love your neighbor as yourself. We live, said Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we live in a time when crowd pressures have unconsciously conditioned our minds and feet to move to the rhythmic drumbeat of the status quo. And yet he, Dr. King, like Jesus, knew that we together have what it takes to hear a new song and begin to move to the cadences of God's utterly unexpected and thoroughly astonishing love becoming real through us here and now. I bet I'm not the only one who's glad to see sunlight pouring in the window this morning. I bet I'm not the only one who is really happy to notice that some melting has been going on from the gutters, from the sidewalks that were too dangerous to walk on. On Wednesday of this week, while I was working on this sermon, I went outside. I don't know if you remember Wednesday morning. Beautiful sunlight. I could stand out there and be warm. I could feel the sunlight on my ears and my cheeks making me warm, and I went out there to give thanks for this certain morning, a morning that makes us think about spring coming. You can see the buds on the trees. Here it comes. And I wanted to watch those icicles melt. Just stand and watch. Drip, drip, drip. Drop by sunlit drop. The ice that had such an iron grip began to let go, like mindsets flexing, like assumptions softening, like the structures of oppression that hurt us all so much, dissolving from our life together. Like fears warming in the sun of God's love and simply melting away. Jesus would not be asking us to come with him, to breathe with God's breath, to love with God's love, if he didn't think we could do it. Jesus, who found his home in the wilderness, gazing up at a vast canopy lit by stars, and also down in town, tasting bread baked in the warm, fragrant kitchens of his friends, speaks of kingdom not as a place but as a way of life so infused with love that we shine with God's own light and send God's joy brimming over, simply because love is so good for us, all of us, no one left out, and in our living in this love, the dreams of God unfold. Jesus is asking if we would like to dance to the love song he is dancing to, the song being sung deep within and all around us by a steadfast and tender-hearted God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
At this time, you are invited to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern. If you raise your hand if you would like to share that prayer out loud, an usher will bring you a microphone. And also a reminder to our children who normally write the prayers and we share them here in worship. You are invited, if you feel comfortable, to raise your hand and share a prayer aloud.
Jenny Smith, I'm asking for prayers for a very dear and long-standing friend of mine who is facing some major challenges and changes in her life. She's very frightened, and she needs all the prayers we can give her. Thank you so much.
Whit Beckett, continued prayers for my youngest brother, Tom. He's been in the hospital for a month, which was planned, but they have no tricks up their sleeve to treat his leukemia anymore, and he's also suffering a significant case of pneumonia at this time that he may or may not recover from.
Fitz Crosdale, thanks to so many of you who sent cards for Dorette and the loss of her father, and also would like to, just for those of you who know Brandon, our son, he proposed to his girlfriend last week, so we're looking forward to a wedding next year, I believe.
Thanks be to God.
Peter Derry, prayers for a dear old friend of ours. We learned yesterday, went to the emergency room, and now faces some very serious surgery.
Paula Sousa, I ask for prayers for a co-worker's husband who's just struggling with heart problems. He has to get well enough to be put on the heart donor list. Thank you.
And I also ask for prayers for our Jamaican mission team as they travel back today. I haven't heard of any travel woes yet, so hopefully they get here without any cancellations or delays, and we look forward to celebrating with them next Sunday in worship as they share with us about their experiences. And I also ask that you hold in prayer a friend of mine who has young children, and she is dying currently from cancer. So please hold her family in your prayers today. Let us continue our time of prayer. God of justice, mercy, and love, we are sometimes overwhelmed by the world around us. There is hatred and injustice, enormous economic inequalities and discrimination of all kinds. Fear seems to triumph over hope, and faith despairs. Racism confronts us as people, O God, and distorts who it is that you created us to be. To whom shall we turn? Your prophets have been ignored. Prophets like Sojourner Truth and Rosa Parks, or killed like Martin Luther King Jr. and even your own son, who calls us to a different way of life, to a new humanity, to deeper community. To whom shall we turn? We turn to you, God of our weary years, of our silent tears, and pray that the beloved community, thy kingdom, come. We pray that in the face of great injustice, like our prison system, thy kingdom come. And we pray that wherever fear or hatred lays siege, thy kingdom come. We pray that in the face of war and rumors of war, like in the Ukraine, in Syria, in South Sudan and Venezuela, thy kingdom come. We pray that in the face of families in poverty, children who go hungry, neighbors without adequate access to health care and education and employment, like in our own United States, thy kingdom come. We pray that in the face of cowardice behind weapons of words and steel, like the gun-filled streets of Rochester, thy kingdom come. We pray that we might live into the day where we are all dreamers who walk in the dream and thus make it a reality. The dream of your prophets sourced in you that we could be a people that studies war no more, that justice and harmony and love would form the basis of our relationship, and that your love would be at the center of all of it. God, we give thanks for the ways in which we share that love in our relationships with one another, with our families, and in this community of faith. God, for all those expressions of your holiness lived out through each of us, we give thanks. And God, we are so grateful for the mission team and the work that they are doing, the ways in which your kingdom is so expansive in and around and through this world. God, may we be filled with the energy and excitement that they will bring back to us and be sustained in those relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Jamaica. We hold those congregations also in prayer this morning. God, for all these things, for the many challenges in life and the joys that we celebrate together, we offer them in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As an expression of the many blessings in which we experience through God, we offer back to God a portion of that abundance. Let us celebrate with our morning offering.
thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you give us and for challenges. We need those too. We thank you for living in this country, but for praying for those people who need our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, let us go forth from this place in peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, already at work within us to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or imagine. Now, may the grace of the risen Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.